We're on Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph, but there are one or two points that I think we missed on Daf Chav Aleph Amud Beis. So we'll go back to that for just a moment. We had a sugya on Daf Chav Aleph Amud Beis about Chometz b'shos derabbanan. It was about six lines down from the top of the page, seven lines down. And what that means is that he took chometz in the sixth hour, which is chometz derabbanan. That's called shos derabbanan, and he was mekadesh and isha. And the Gemara establishes that ein choshishin l'kiddushin, that we don't have to even consider the possibility that the marriage is valid. And yesterday we mentioned two principles here that seem to overlap. One principle is kol de mekadesh adaita de rabbana mekadesh. Do you remember this? When a person's mekadesh, he has in mind that it should fulfill the requirements of the rabbana. They should approve of the marriage. The second principle that we mentioned was hefker bezdin hefker, that since bezdin declared that your chametz is aser behana on the sixth hour, therefore it's hefker, you don't own it. Today I want to add a third possibility, and that is that isuri hana are valueless. In other words, even though the Isur Hanah, in the case of Chometz, is the Rabbanon, but the Torah gave authority to the Rabbanon to institute this Isur Hanah. And that comes under the rubric of Vasu Mishmeres L'Mishmarti, which means that the Rabbanon are authorized to make zeros. And they're afraid that if you allow him to enjoy chametz in the sixth hour, he might come to make a mistake and enjoy chametz in the seventh hour. So the Rabbanan said that chametz in the sixth hour is asur behana. So what benefit can she get from this chametz? It doesn't matter whether Isur Hanah is Doraisa or the Rabbanan. It's not that the Rabbanan are coming to mafkia to remove Kiddushin that the Torah recognizes. No, even the Torah wouldn't recognize these Kiddushin because he's not giving her anything that she could benefit from. Because since the Rabbanan instituted the Isur Hanah, and she's not allowed to have any benefit from it, so what did she gain by receiving this chametz in the sixth hour? There's nothing that she could do with it. Now, yesterday we mentioned that chitikur denaisa might be chametz nuksha. Now, chametz nuksha, which is a kind of tough chametz that's hardly edible, according to many rishonim, is only midrabbana. So we pointed out yesterday that it's very possible that when the Gemara introduces here chitikur denaisa, it's going to tell you that there's a double derabbanan here. Not only is it the sixth hour, which is a shah derabbanan, the chametz itself is only derabbanan. It's chitikur denaisa. However, Rabbeinu Tam is not like that. If you remember, Rabbeinu Tam says that when it says mishesh shos ulamala, it means the end of the sixth hour and the beginning of the seventh hour. That's when chametz becomes awesome in our Torah. Therefore, the chitikur denaisa means that there's only one derabbanan here. The chametz is derabbanan. It's chametz nuksha. However, if there was a double derabbanan, it would be the beginning of the sixth hour, plus it would be chitikur denaisa, which is chametz nuksha, then there would be a chashash kedushin, and we would require that she receives a get before she could get married to someone else. So again, there are two ways of learning our sugya. One way of learning our sugya is that even if you pile up, you know, you piggyback two derabbanans, that's shah derabbanan and chametz derabbanan, nevertheless, it still remains ein choshishin l'kiddushin. It's completely invalid, right? Because the rabbanan prohibited chitikur denaisa in the sixth hour, and therefore she gets no benefit. But If you hold like Rabbeinu Tam, that Rabbeinu Tam is holding that Sheish Shos Lamad is referring to the end of the sixth hour, which means that's when Chometz becomes awesome in our Torah, then there's only one Durabanan here, and that would be Chitikur Denaisa, which is Chometz Nuksha. But if, let's say, he gave her Chometz Nuksha at the beginning of the sixth hour, which is only Shah Durabanan, then we'd be Chosheish LeKiddushin. And that's the sheet of the Ran. The Ran says it would be Chometz Durabanan B'Shos Durabanan, then we'd have to worry about the possibility of Kiddush. Now keep in mind, Rabbi will say, that the fifth hour, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is Aser B'Achila but Mutar B'Anah. So if he were to give a Chometz in the fifth hour, then clearly she would be Mekudeshes, because she would have the right to sell that chametz or feed it to her animal, and she would benefit from it, and therefore it's worth money. But when the sixth hour emerges, and that's when chametz becomes asur, not only b'achila but also b'anah, then she's not receiving anything of value, she cannot benefit from it, and therefore ein chayshina l'kiddush. What would be in chametz d'rabbanon b'shah d'rabbanon, says the Ran, that would be chayshina l'kiddush. We'd have to worry about the Kiddushin. Why? Because it's a double Durabanan. It's in the Chometz and it's in the Shah. That's one thing that I thought was important to mention as far as Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis is concerned. Now, let's go on to Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, and let's just remind ourselves that we have a sugya of nevela. Now, what's the sugya of nevela? So, if we take a look at the bottom of Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, and I'll tell you exactly where we got up to. Just give me a second so I can point it out. Disanya. Let's see if we can find Disanya. Okay, let me try to find it on the Amud. Does anybody see the word Disanya? It's above Tosas called Makom. Yeah, if you have Tosas called Makom, if that helps you, then it's a little bit above that. Okay, a little bit above that. Disanya. Now, what happens is the following. We are now analyzing the Shita of Rabbi Avo. The Shita of Rabbi Avo is that since in the case of Nevela, the Torah had to go out of its way to tell you that you can take this Nevela and give it to a Ger, and we discussed yesterday the Halach of Ger Toshav, or you could sell it to a Nachri. Therefore, you see that the Torah had to go out of its way to allow benefit, to allow hana, implying that wherever the Torah doesn't go out of its way to permit hana, then it's asur b'hana. So Rabbi Yavo's principle based on Nevela is that if we find psukim in the Torah which say that you're not allowed to eat something, whether it says lo yeochel, lo sochal, lo sochlu, whatever nusach you'll find in the Torah, it means that you're guilty until proved innocent. It includes the Iser Hana as well, unless the Torah is Matar Hana. What is my paradigm where the Torah went out of its way to be Matar Hana? That's Nevela. This Sanya, we learned in a Braisa. Lo sochlu kol Nevela. The Torah prohibits eating Nevela. The animal died without Shechita. So what do you do with the Nevela? The Torah tells you exactly what to do with the Nevela. Leger, Lager asher b'sharecha titnena, v'achola. The Ger is allowed to eat Nevela. He's only chayav in Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. Give it to the Ger. Now the word titnena implies gratis. You give it to him as a gift. Oh, now the Torah gives you another option, machar lanochri, or you can sell it to a non-Jew. The non-Jew is also obligated in seven mitzvahs, but he never accepted upon himself to be committed as a ger toshav to the fulfillment of the Zion mitzvahs. So the Braisa now wants to say the following. If we read this pasuk literally, it sounds like in the case of a ger, you have to do what? Give it to him as a gift. In the case of a nachri, you have to sell it to him. So the Braisa says, "Ein li ela ger le ger binesina ule nachri b'mechira." If I take this pasuk literally, then in the case of a ger, I only have one option, and that is to give him gratis. I can't charge him for it. And if I give it to a nachri, I have to charge him for it. Is leger b'mechira minayin? How do I know that I'm allowed to sell it to a ger? Meaning, I don't want to take a loss on it. I have an option of selling it to a guy. I could get 100 for it. Why should I give up on that 100? Can I charge the ger? And if you take the pasuk literally, it says titneno, which means gratis. It doesn't seem to imply that you're permitted to charge the ger. Talmud Lomar. Uh-huh. Now, this Talmud Lomar is going to introduce a new principle in how to read the Torah. And that means that what you can do in reading the Torah is you have a right to take a part of a pasuk and use it in both directions. Atchilas ha-pasuk v'asof ha-pasuk. What does that mean? It says over here in the pasuk, Menachem, if you can close the door, thanks. It says in the pasuk, lager asher b'sharecha titnena. And then it says, "Oh, machal enochri." We're allowed to read it in the following way. We can read it lager asher b'sharecha titnena, "Oh, machur." In which case, the mechira here goes back on the ger, and at the same time, we can read it for the end of the pasuk. We can read it in the way that it says. It says titnena. You know, let's leave out the word lager, but read it titnena viachola o machal enochri. So eli ella, I only know lager b'nesina ulenochri b'mechira lager b'mechira minayin. How do you know I could sell it to a ger? Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says lager asher b'sharech titnena o machor. And we're cutting out the word lenochri. What we're going to do is we're going to attach the first part of the pasuk to part of the second part of the pasuk, and hence we're going to derive the conclusion that ol machur is an option that's permissible with regard to a ger, so I can charge the ger.
Despite the trop.
This has nothing to do with trop.
No, but I'm saying despite the trop. It goes against
right.
The
trop. Nothing to do with trop. Leave out trop. Trop is just going to confuse you.
Yeah.
Because what we want to know is there such a principle? And that's what we're seeing here for the first time. This is going to have implications in other areas of the Torah as well. We have a right to take the words and attach them together and read it in different directions. So you can have a phrase that will be interpreted both Ali El and Ali Rab, meaning both on what comes before and what comes afterwards. How do we know that I can give it as a gift to a guy? You know, I have a nice neighbor next door, Paul Jones, and he's been very nice to me. I want to give him a nevela. Talmud Lomar, and here we're going to again read the pasuk, but we're going to drop the first part of the pasuk. We're going to take the part of the pasuk that says titnena as a gift, and we're going to attach it to the end of the pasuk. Titnena v'yachala. You have two options with regard to a guy. You can either sell it to him or you can give it to him as a gift. Nimseis Omer, and this is Rabbi Meir's Shita, and we're summarizing it now, that Echad Leger, Echad Ger V'Echad Nachri, Bein B'Mechira, Bein B'Nesina. I have two possibilities of Mechira and Nesina, and they both apply to both a Ger and a Nachri. So I can sell it to a Ger if I so choose, and I can give it as a gift to a nachri if I choose. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, that's not how we darshan a pasuk. That's you're overstepping your bounds. El dvara dvarim kiksavam. You have to read the pasuk as it is written, and there's something that wedges in the middle between the beginning of the pasuk and the end of the pasuk. The beginning of the pasuk, which mentions titnena, a gift, the end of the pasuk, which mentions machira, and what wedges, what separates between the two? The word ol. It says like yer asher b'sharecha titnena v'achala, and then the pasuk says ol machar l'nachri. According to you, Rabbi Meir, leave out the word oh. It should have said like Ger Asher B'Sharecha T'Tenenu V'Achala U'Machar L'Nachri, which means that we would have a way of reading it in both directions, and we'd say as far as the Ger is concerned, you can either give it to him or U'Machar. As far as the Nachri is concerned, again we would say that you have two options, you can either T'Tenenu or U'Machar. But why the O in the middle? Oh, lovely. Elishmamino, but rather we have to assume Lidvarim Kiksavam. You have to take this simple, straightforward understanding of the Pasuk. And you have to be Machalik and differentiate between Ger at the beginning of the Pasuk and Nachri at the end of the Pasuk, between Titnena as a gift and Mechira as a sale. And you have to read it the following way. La Ger Asher Bisharecha Titnena V'Achola. Now, the O is going to create a barrier, you know, this is, you hit the wall at this point, which means that as far as Ger is concerned, you only have one option, namely what? Titnena matana. And then after the O, you have Machar l'Nachri, and there's one option as far as the Nachri is concerned, and what's that going to be? Mechira, you can't give it to him as a gift. So Rabosai, according to Rabbi Meir, if I choose to sell the nevela to a ger, I'm allowed to do so. If I choose to give the gift to my nachri, give him a ger, you send him a nevela in a package deal, you know, in a big wrap, gift wrap package, I can do that too. But Rabbi Yehuda says no. For the ger, you're required to give it to him as a gift. With regard to the nachri, you are required to sell it to him. Now, I can understand Rabbi Yehuda's sheet of, with regard to a ger. Look, you got a nevela, you can't eat the nevela. The ger is part of the Jewish people. You know, he's an auxiliary, he's an associate member of the nation. The Torah says, as we're going to soon see, that you have to support him. Give it to him. Give it to him as a gift. What do you care? You can't eat it anyway. But in the second case, where Rabbi Yehuda says that if Dvarim Kiksavam, you read the Pasuk straight, then you're not allowed to give it as a gift to a guy, that's a little bit more problematic. You know, I decided that, you know, what am I going to do with this nevela? So I have a neighbor who lives next door to me. You know, when it was came to Bedikas Chametz, I was very careful not to stick my nair into his, you know, his side of the kosel. Right? He's going to accuse me of being a sorcerer. I have good relations with my neighbor. So I think, again, I can't prove this to you, it's just my own thesis, that there's something in the Torah called lo sichanim, which means you're not allowed to give. You're not allowed to give in Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to give a portion of the land to a goy. Now, whether that applies to all goyim or to idol worshippers, I mean, this you have to know. You know, Meir Kahane spent a lot of time on that sugya. It's a big sugya. In any event, what comes out is that Rabbi Yehuda sort of, again, I'm just suggesting, he extrapolates, he expands from lo sichanim, that lo sichanim means matnas chinam, that we don't give gifts to goyim. You know, again, if they're idol worshippers, we understand, because it's sort of like we're flattering the goyim who are idol worshippers. That we don't do. And therefore, if you have a nevela, you have every right, and now according to Rabbi Yehuda, and an obligation, to charge him in a barter and exchange sale agreement. Okay, so now, on a textual level, not a conceptual level, why does Rabbi Yehuda reject Rabbi Meir? Why does he insist that as far as a ger is concerned, you have to give it to him for matana? As far as a nachri is concerned, you have to charge him for it? Because the word O. That's on a textual level. The word O is totally out of place. And that's exactly what the Gemara is going to ask. Now, what does Rabbi Meir do with the word O?
Can I ask just a slight different question? According to Rabbi Yehuda, could you say that if you have a choice between the Geir
Tosha. That's coming up now. Just hold on for five more minutes. Oh. Rabbi Meir, oh. What does Rabbi Meir do with the word oh? So he says the following. Rabbi Meir uses the word oh to teach me the law of Kedima. Kedima means if you have two choices, what comes first? And we'll see about Rabbi Yehuda in just a second, but Rabbi Meir first. Lahaktim nesina deger lemechira denochri, which means the following. There are two possible scenarios. Scenario number one is you have both a ger and a nochri that are accessible. And now the question is, what do you do with this nevela that you have? And the answer is, we give precedence, we give priority to the ger. And that's why the Torah added the word oh here, to tell you that there's a certain priority or preference to the reish of this pasuk. In other words, the Torah formulates a very deliberate sequence here to tell you that if you have two choices, you can either give it as a gift, this nevela as a gift to a ger, or you could sell it to a nochri. Both options are available. Then the Torah gives you that sequence. And what does that mean? Lahaktim nesina deger lemechira denochri. You have this nevela, the Torah says, give it to a ger. That's scenario number one. Scenario number two is you don't have a ger. There's no ger available. All you have is a nochri, and then you sell it to a nochri. Now, do you have the option of giving it to a nochri? The answer is, according to Rabbi Meir, yes. Because Rabbi Meir chops up the pasuk and reads it in both directions, as we saw before. But the reason why the Torah gave you this specific sequence with the word oh is an event that you have both options in front of you. There's a ger who's available, there's a nachri who's available, and the Torah wants you to give a gift to a ger. And instead of selling the nachri, you might say, well, let me sell to a nachri. I want to get profit in the bank. No, the Torah says, it's not a terrible loss for you, it's an avela anyway, give it to the nochri. And this is all based, give it to the ger. And this is all based on the halacha of chayav lachyosa, that we want to support the ger. Now the Gemara in Masechta Yoma has an entire analysis about various psukim where you could read it in both directions. Like, for example, in the pasuk in Dvarim, where exactly is it in Dvarim? I could tell you that. I think it's in Perek Lamed Aleph. It says there's Tokum Vehadarta, and there's Zokain in the Seva. And the Gemara wants to say that maybe you could read it in both directions. So with both with regard to a Zokain and with regard to a Seva, you have a double mitzvah of Kima and Hidur. Again, this is all sugyu. I'm not going into the details. But again, those are examples. That's one example besides ours, where you interpret the words of the Torah both Lefaneha and Leachreha. You go in both directions. And we're going to have to see how Rabbi Yehuda would deal with all those cases in the Torah. It could be that Rabbi Yehuda also agrees in principle to Rabbi Meir. And this principle that you can read a pasuk both Lefaneha and Leachreha applies, except for the exceptional rule where the Torah added the word O in order to separate. Okay, now the Gemara goes on. For Rabbi Yehuda, what does he do with this scenario? Meaning, you have two options in front of you. You have the ger, and you have the nochri. I'll never get this right. Okay. You have the ger, and you have the nochri. I'm missing usher leader. Okay. You have the ger, and you have the nochri. Now, Rabbi Meir used the word O to set up a priority. Give it as a gift to the ger rather than sell it to the nochri. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have that option. Why? Because he needs the word O for a different purpose. To tell you, Dvarim Kiksavam, that with regard to a ger, you only have one option, namely what? To give it as a gift. With regard to a goy, you only have one option, you have to sell it to him. So therefore, he doesn't have the freedom, he doesn't have the superfluous word O to set up this priority system that the ger comes first and the nochri comes second. So the Gemara says, ha, this din of kedima, that we first prefer to give a gift to the ger, lo tzarech kra, doesn't need a pasuk. We can derive it from logic. Why? Kevon de ger atobitzuva lach yoso. Since with regard to a ger, you have a mitzvah to support the ger. And that, Rashi points out, is derived from a pasuk in Vayikra Chaf Hei. It says, ger v'sosha v'chei imach. A ger toshav, you should live with him, which means you should give him life. You should support him if he needs money. So there's a special chiyuv of tzedakah to give and help a ger. Uvenachri, but in the case of a nachri, who's not a ger toshav, and he never even accepted upon himself the seven mitzvahs b'nei noach, one of which is not to worship an idol, he never accepted that. He's not willing to commit himself to that. Iyato mitzuva lach yoso. Which raises the whole question about charities. You know, can you give charities and earmark it to non-Jewish organizations? Not such a simple matter. I don't want to say this during the shiva of a classmate of mine who died, and he used to collect money from non-Jews and give money to non-Jews. Okay, it's an issue. I'm just saying it's very, you know, we should have a shiur klali on this. It's a very controversial issue about tzedakah vis-a-vis non-Jewish organizations. I have a first cousin who passed away recently, and he, when I visited him in his office, he was the CEO of a major company in the Midwest. I think they sold it for $27 million. Anyway, when I visited him, he turns around his computer so I can see it, and he shows me all the tzedakahs that they gave.
To
it was all to go. All of it. There wasn't one Jewish thing. I mean, it's just a miracle that one of his children married a Jew. And that was my father's most important decision in his life when he got off the boat at Ellis Island at the age of 12. He decided he's not going to the Midwest where his whole family had settled. My grandparents are buried in Ohio, and my father refused to go, and he wanted to learn in yeshiva. Imagine a 12-year-old boy. And the rest is history. I mean, Baruch Hashem, I mean, all his children, his grandchildren, the other wing of the family. That's why in America, I don't know, Michael, if this is true in England, but in America, you go family by family by family. There's almost no exception. Almost no exception. And there is so much intermarriage in families. You can have an Orthodox Jew and his first cousins are going, so to speak. You know, again, it can happen anywhere in the world, but in America, it's like, you know, it's almost ain bias asher ain ba mess. And the decision-making process is all about Jewish education. So now what we have here is iyato mitzuva lach yoso. I don't know if I have to support these charities. I don't know. Again, there's always an issue of what we call eva. Are you familiar with that word eva? Aleph yud beis hey, which means, you know, if we don't support their charity organizations, then they'll be very, very angry with us, and it'll create friction and so forth. So we give to their societies as well. Again, there are limits, and you have to know the halach. It's very difficult. All the contemporary posts can deal with these issues.
Some of them are used by the general community.
Okay, if the Jews are benefiting from it as well, that's for sure a different kind of thing. You know, you have the American Cancer Society or something like that. I don't know. Yeah. But there are certain specific Christian charities, and the question is, are we allowed, and the other extreme would say, perhaps even obligated to help support them. But right here in the Gemara, it says, Iyato mitzuva lach yoso. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, obviously, if you have a choice between two situations, and that's logical, you don't even need an extra word O for this, you can either give it as support and as a charitable donation to a ger, or you have the option of making a profit of this levela by selling it to a nukri, svarahu, it's absolutely logical and compelling that you give it to a ger, because that's a mitzvah called lach yoso, based on the pasuk, as we said at the end of Vayikra, it says, ger v'soshav v'chei imach. Oh, now let's get back to Rabbi Avoh. You remember that Rabbi Avo's opinion was that guilty until proven innocent, that means if the Torah prohibits achila, what's included thereof is hana, unless the Torah went out of its way to be matir. So the Gemara says the following. Can we reconcile the shita of Rabbi Avo with both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda? Meaning, if all things are equal, an Amora does not want to stand on the shoulders of one particular Tana in a major controversy. He would really like to square with everybody. And the question is going to be, is there a matching here in which we have to match up Rabbi Avo with Rabbi Meir? And that would mean that Rabbi Yehuda is not acceptable according to Rabbi Avo. Rabbi Avo would not be free to accept Rabbi Yehuda. Why? The Gemara says the following. Bishlema Rabbi Meir, if we want to combine Rabbi Avo with Rabbi Meir, that's fine. That's great. Why? The Omar Echad Ger V'Echad Nachri, Bein B'Mechira, Bein B'Nesina. In other words, the Torah here, in this pasuk in the Vela, is telling you that you're allowed to have Hana. What kind of Hana? Well, you can give it as a gift. You can sell it. You can give it as a gift to either a ger or a nachri. You can sell it to either a ger or a nachri. The Torah is basically opening up all options for you as far as hana. Umita itzra krala mishrei nevela b'hana. From the fact that in the parashah of nevela, the Torah had to go out of its way to allow you to have hana. Ha, we can imply that, or infer, right, that kol isurim shebe Torah with regard to other isurim, where the Torah says achila, the Torah did not go out of its way to allow you to have hana, is then bein achila, bein hana, hence Rabbi Avo. El ole, Rabbi Yehuda, can we square Rabbi Avo with Rabbi Yehuda? Why? Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Torah is not giving you some sort of blanket hana. On the contrary, the Torah is limiting and the Torah is restricting and telling you that you have no heter to charge the ger. You have no heter to give a gratis gift to the guy. That's called the Omer Dvarim Kiksavam Hudiyasa. So this pasuk is coming to tell you that you're not allowed to give a gift to the nachri. You're not allowed to sell the nevela to a ger. Is if that be the case, it's not that the Torah came to be matir hana. The Torah came to restrict hana. Is hakol isurim shvat Torah minyolon dasurim hana? How would Rabbi Avo understand Rabbi Yehuda? Can he tolerate Rabbi Yehuda? Can we reconcile Rabbi Avo with Rabbi Yehuda? Because if Rabbi Avo is looking for a source in the Torah where the Torah went out of its way to be matar hana, implying that elsewhere the general rule is that achila includes an isur hana, then you cannot derive that according to Rabbi Yehuda, because the Torah is not coming to be matar hana. The Torah is coming to tell you that you're only allowed to use the nevela in a specific way. And what is that specific way? It's nesina to a ger, and it's mechira to a nachri. So let me just read to you this footnote he has over here. He says the following. What was the raya of Rabbi Avo? It was because in the case of the Vela, the Torah went out of its way to explicate the heter hana, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Torah in this whole pasuk of lager shevish recha teteno machol lenachri is telling you not a heter hana, but rather it's telling you something that you have to know, a new limud, that the heter to a ger is only a gift and the heter to a nachri is only a sale. And if that be the case in other isurim in the Torah, where the Torah doesn't mention an isur hana, it only mentions an isur achila, then maybe enochinami, it would be mutar b'hana. No, if it'd be mutar b'hana, why did the Torah have to go out of its way to tell you that you're allowed to take the nevela and give it as a gift? The Torah wants to tell you that you have to give it as a gift in the case of a ger. The Torah went out of its way to tell you you have to charge the guy in the case of mechiras hanevela. But in other isurim, where the Torah only says achila, it's quite possible that the Torah only means to prohibit achila. According to Rabbi Meir, we understand that the Torah is now permitting hana, and permitting hana and nevela in all cases. Why did the Torah feel compelled to tell me that it's mutar hana? It only says that you're not allowed to eat an avela. The answer is that if the Torah tells you you're not allowed to eat something, it implies that you're not allowed to have hanah from it. So the Torah went out of its way in the avela to be matir hanah. And if that be the case, then whenever the Torah did not go out of its way to be matir hanah, the Torah implies within Isra Chila even hanah is included. And hence we have the shita of Rabbi Avo. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can't tell me, well, why did the Torah have to be Matar Hanah in the case of the veil? No. In truth, the Torah did not have to be Matar Hanah in the case of the veil, because the Torah only prohibits Achila in the case of the veil. Why would I jump to the conclusion that Hanah is also included in the Isur? The answer is the Torah went out of its way to tell you exactly in what circumstances you're allowed to benefit and how you can benefit. So the Gemara answers, Nafkalei, Rabbi Yehuda is going to derive the conclusion of Rabbi Avo from a different parasha, not from the parasha of Nevela, but rather from the parasha of Trefa. Now, the parasha of Nevela is in Sefer Dvarim in Perek Yudalet. The parasha of Trefa is in Sefer Shmos. We read it two Shabbos ago in Perek Chav Beis, and there it says, I'll read the whole pasuk to you: Ubasar basade Trefa lo sochelu lakelev tashlichun oso. So we have a case of Basar basade Trefa, and the Torah says lakelev tashlichun oso. You can take this Trefa and feed it to the dog. And here we turn to Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph. So the Chachamim say that there's an extra word in this pasuk. He could have said Lakelev Tashlichun. Why did the Torah add the word Oso? This is a mute, and it means Oso Ato Mashlich Lakelev. The iato mashlich lakelev kol isurim shebat Torah. That extra word also is coming to tell you that we limit the heter anah of feeding the dog to the case of trefa, but in other isurim, when the Torah says achila, it means that it's an isur anah implicit, and therefore you have no heter anah in all of the isurim. Only in this case of lakelev tashlich and also of trefa, here is where the Torah permitted Hanah. But elsewhere, the Torah did not permit Hanah. Now, Rabosai, this statement in the Gemara here on top of Chav Beis Amud Aleph generates an entire literature. I'll tell you why. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda derives the principle of Rabbi Avo, again Rabbi Yehuda is before Rabbi Avo, but the same principle, from the extra word Oso. And Oso is a mute. Why does the Gemara feel compelled to introduce the extra word Oso? Forget about the extra word Oso. The very fact that the Torah had to go out of its way to be Matir Hanah, like Kelev Tashlichun, in the case of Trefo, that itself would imply that in other Isurim, you would not be allowed to feed your dog. In other words, the same way that we made the diuk, according to Rabbi Meir, in the case of Nevela, that from the fact that the Torah was Matir Anon Nevela, it implies that in other Isurim, the Isra Achila entails and implies even an Isra Anon. Let's use the same logic with regard to Trefa. The very fact that the Torah allows you to feed the Trefa to a dog means implying that in other Isurim, there is no such heter. So here we have Rashi. I'm going to give you a presentation of Rashi based on the footnote that I have here. And he says the following. Hatam lazeh came into be etzem haheter ein raya. From the fact that the Torah allowed you to feed the trefa to a dog, that doesn't prove that b'makom acher, that elsewhere, be asur b'hanah. Mipnei she'efsha lomar she'be'emes b'kol isurim muter b'adna umashe hutzach hakosuv lefarish b'trefa lakelev tashlichno so kidei l'amdenu she'dafka b'ofen ze yehena mimenu. In other words, eino chinami, achila would not entail hanah. The nisra achila would not encompass the nisra hanah. And therefore, in the case of trefa, since it says lo sochelu, there's no reason why you can't feed it to the dog. But why does the Torah say lakelv tashlichno so, to give you a mitzvah? Now, if anyone here owns a dog, anybody here is, no, not one person here? Interesting. That if I was talking to a different audience, probably everyone would, you walk down the streets here, it's like, you know, unfortunately, I have a fear of dogs, you know, I'm always kind of, you know, I zigzag up the street here because I can't take it. But, I don't know, amongst Orthodox Jews, I remember as a child, I stole the afikomen. One year I asked for a cat, didn't go anywhere. The next year I said, let me ask for a dog, didn't go anywhere. I don't know. So
you got a parakeet.
Yeah, I don't remember what I got. I think I got a tape recorder. It was about this big. Anybody remember those tape recorders?
Boombox.
What was it called? Sony tape recorders. It weighed more than I did. You know what I'm saying? If I had it today, maybe it would be worth something on eBay as an antique. I don't know. I'm just joking. But that's what I got one year for my afikom. So we don't have dogs. But if I was talking to a dog owner, I would have exciting news for him. That there's a mitzvah to feed the dog. You see, we don't realize that. Now, there's Tzar Bali Chaim, but I'm not talking about Tzar Bali Chaim, because Tzar Bali Chaim applies to almost any animal, probably any animal. It might not apply to bugs, but it applies to animals. But with regard to a dog, there's a specific mitzvah to feed a dog.
How do we see that it's a mitzvah?
La kelev tashlichu was written in Lashon Tzivui in a mandate. And why do we want to feed a dog?
So you have to.
And well, again, if you have other options, then the halacha is going to have to weigh the different options. But theoretically, the first option, like we saw before, about giving a gift to the ger, is to feed this trefa to a dog. Why?
It's like a total loss.
Why does the Torah want me to feed the dog?
First of all, well, it's to avoid bel tashchis.
No, I can feed it to any other animal.
Oh, I see.
Why a dog?
Wasn't this scar?
Excellent.
Quiet.
Beautiful. Right. Excellent. This is what we call Hakar Satov. The Torah wants to teach us ethics. And we have an ethical obligation to recognize and express gratitude and appreciation for someone who did us good. The dogs did us good. And you don't have to read the book 101 Dalmatians, you know, even without that. The dogs kept quiet on that night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the Pasuk says, Lo Yechatz Kelev Lashono. Now you'll see this in Rashi on the fourth line down from the top. And Rashi says, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekapech Schar Kol Birya V'Nemar B'Mitzrayim Lo Yechatz Kelev Lashono. Now, does a dog have freedom of choice? I don't know. I'm not sure. But as circumstances had it, the dogs kept quiet at a time that was very critical for the Jewish people. And it allowed the Jewish people to get out of Mitzrayim. And we have to recognize that this is an ethical principle that we derive from the dogs. You know, the Gemara says, based on Mishlei, Shlomo HaMelech learns a lot from different animals and different creatures, that the creatures have ethical messages to teach us. You know, we learn tznius from a cat, and we learn amelus from an aunt, I don't know how you pronounce it in British, an aunt, because the aunts will work. I mean, they carry weight that's 500 times the size of their bodies, and they're going to die within 6 months, and they're preparing for the next generation. I mean, there are all sorts of ethical rules or laws that we derive. So therefore, We're in a little bit of a bind over here, because if we want to know how, if we want to prove that achila entails hana, which is Rabbi Avo, we cannot derive it from the pasuk lakel of tashlichun. Why? Because even though, if I argue from the devil's point of view, the devil's advocate, that isra achila includes only achila, the Torah would still have to say lakel of tashlichun. Why? Because the Torah wants to tell me that there's one specific hanah with this trefa that I want you to pursue. I want you to feed your dog for ethical purposes. Lakelev tashlichu. Oh, says the Gemara, and this is the key to understand Rabbi Yehuda. Why did the Torah have to add the word oso? It could have told you this moral lesson of lakelev tashlichun without the word oso, giving you a preferential treatment to give the nevela to the dog. But the answer is that extra word also is coming as a miut to tell you that in the case of treifa, I'm going to allow you to have hanah. But in other isurim, the achila includes hanah as well. Hence, the principle of Rabbi Yavo. The Gemara has now successfully reconciled Rabbi Yavo with both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yud. Again, with Rabbi Meir, it's a cinch, because Rabbi Meir says in the Parsha Nevela, the Torah was matir hanah nevela, implying that in other places where the Torah didn't explicitly matir, it's also b'hanah. In the case of Rabbi Yehuda, though, where the Torah is not coming to be matir hanah, but to tell you exactly what to do with the nevela, give it as a gift to a ger, and don't give it as a gift to a nachri, etc. How do we know Rabbi Avol's principle? How do we derive that in other Isurim, which includes Hanno as well? And the answer is from the word Oso in the parish of Trefa. Now the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question. What does Rabbi Meir do with the word Oso? After all, Rabbi Meir has already derived from the Vela that in all Isurei Torah, even Hanah is included. So why did the Torah have to go out of its way to add the word Oso? It's a superfluous word. And here we have to take a deep breath, Rabbi Osa, because we're about to embark on a whole new sugya. The word Oso tells you, Oso atomashluch lekelev, v'i atomashluch lekelev chulin shenishkatu bazara. You're only allowed to shecht kodshim in the Azora. You're not allowed to shecht chulin in the Azora. What happens if he went ahead and he shechted chulin in the Azora? Not only is he enjoined from eating that chulin that was shecht in the Azora, he's not allowed to feed it to his dog. He's not allowed to have any benefit from it. And how do I know this? From the word Oso. So now we're going to have to figure out exactly what is the Isur. What is the source of the Isur of Chulin Be'azara? How do we know that the Torah prohibits you from taking Chulin and shechting it in the Azara? So the Gemara in Chulin derives this from a Pasuk. The Pasuk says in Dvarim Perek Yud Beis, Kirchak Mimcha Amakom Asher Yivcha Hashem Elokecha Lasum Shmo Shom V'zavachto mibkarecha umitzonecha asher nosan Hashem lecha kasha tzivisicha v'achalto b'sharecha b'chol avas nafshecha. So the Gemara says the following. Ki yirchak mimcha amokom berichuk mokom, then it says v'zavachto, you shech the animal. V'iyata zoveach b'kiruv mokom. What does that mean? Berichuk makom, you're allowed to shecht an animal, but not bekiruv makom. So the Gemara says that kiruv makom here in the Torah refers to the Azara, and richuk makom is anywhere that's far away from the Azara, outside the mountains of the Azara. The Torah is saying berichuk makom, you want to shecht an animal, you have to make sure that you're berichuk makom, you're outside the bounds of the Azara. But iatazovech b'makom karov, you're not allowed to shecht the animal in the Azara. So the behemas chulin cannot be shechted in the Azara. What happens if he went ahead, he violated this? He says, shachat chulin b'azara. The answer is, number one, since it says v'achalta in this pasuk, it's telling you that it's v'achalta because you shechted it b'richuk makom. Had you shechted it b'kiruv makom in the Azara, there would be no v'achalta. Hence, it's asur, you're not allowed to eat the meat of chulin shenishkatu b'azara. What about hanah? Am I allowed to benefit from it? And the answer is, it says oso in the parsha of Trefa. Oso atamashlich lekelev, v'i atamashlich lekelev chulin shenishkatu b'azara. What does the parsha of Trefa have to do with chulin shenishkatu b'azara? This whole sugi is a pella. You're vacillating. What's the status of chulin shenishkatu b'azara? There's no v'achalta because you did a b'kiruv makom. You should have done a b'richuk makom. You want to know now, can I feed the meat to a dog? So you're telling me that there's a word oso that's written in the parsha of Trefa. What does that have to do with chulin shenishkatu b'azara? So Rabbi Osa, let's go back to the pasuk of Trefa. The pasuk says in Shmos Chav Beis, we quoted it earlier, Ubasar basade trefa lo sochil. And the Gemara wants to know, why did the Torah say basada, in the field? It seems totally superfluous. It could have said ubasa trefa lo sochelu. You're not allowed to eat the basa of trefa. Why does it say basada? Is that, well, it doesn't mean that you're not allowed to eat it in the soda, but you can eat it in the house? That can't be. So the Gemara tells us in the Masechta Chulin that sada means a place without mechitzos. Yeah? No? Do I have to write this?
Yeah.
No. Without mechitzos. I don't know. You tell me. I can't guess. You know. A sada is an open area. It doesn't have mechitzos. It doesn't have walls. It's like if you're learning Masechta Megillah, you have something called Purim on Yudalit for unwalled cities, right? That was called the prozos.
Sode does have walls, because otherwise it wouldn't be a sode, would it? I mean, you've got to have walls around the field, otherwise you don't know which is your field and which is somebody else's field.
Well, I wouldn't say walls. Maybe you would have
markers.
Maybe you'd have markers. Maybe you'd have strings. But mechitzos, which means walls, that you don't have. That's the Gemara in Chul. And what is this telling me? This is telling me a definition of the word trefa. Now, last time we met, I told you that a trefa means that it has an injury to an internal organ and it's going to die. That's not exactly an accurate definition of a trefa. Trefa means chutz l'mechitzos. It's outside of its mechitzos. What does that mean? So let's start with the simple case of a trefa. Again, it's not so simple, but that's the, in a sense, simple for our purposes to understand what does it mean chutz l'mechitzos with regard to trefa. You have a cow, and the cow is pregnant, and it has an embryo, a fetus in it. It could be the fetus is very mature, it's very developed, it's about to be born, but it hasn't been born yet. Now, you shechted the mother. Are you allowed to eat the ubar b'mei imo? And the answer is yes, because the shechita on the mother counts for the vlad, but there's one proviso. And what's that? What do you say? Excellent.
We just learned.
Oh, you just learned. It's on Daf Samaches. They're up to Samaches already?
Yes, we learned. Yeah.
You're in the Ayins already, I think, right? Yeah. Oh, excellent. So it's really beautiful when everything, you know, overlaps. That's the advantage of Daf Yomi. Yesterday, last night, I gave a shiur about Rav Meir Shapiro, the founder of the Daf Yomi. So the Gemara says in Chulin that Ubar Shahotzi. Well, let me just get the language. 1 second. Just give me a second. I'm sorry. Uvar shahotzi es echad me evareha chutz lemei imo vehichzira. So there was a limb of this fetus that exited from the mother's body and then it went back in. Now you would have said that in such a case, since it went back in, you're allowed to eat even that limb after the shechita. No, the Gemara says that limb went chutz l'mechitzaso. In other words, the mechitza of shechita is only the body of the mother, but anything that left the body of the mother is called chutz l'mechitzaso. And that makes it into a trefa. That makes it into basada. You remember the pasuk says trefa basada, to tell you that something chutz l'mechitza is already outside the bounds of the shechita. So the shechita cannot now have any impact on being matir, the aver that went outside of its mechitza. Once it went outside of the mechitza, hotzi es aver mi chutz legufa shel aim, then it is considered a trefa. In a similar way, if there is a mechitza for shechita, it only applies to an animal that's healthy. The mechitza of shechita applies to a healthy animal, which means an animal that has vibe that can last. But if the animal cannot survive, that's called chutz l'mechitzaso. And therefore, we're ready to talk about chulin shenishketu bazor. Chulin shenishkritu ba'zara means it was out of its mechitza. The mechitza of shchita for chulin is anywhere up to, but not beyond, the mechitza that separates the Azara from the rest of the Harabais, let's say, or the rest of Eretz Yisrael, the rest of the world. Once you cross that boundary and you enter into the Azara, the Torah says that's called Chutz L'Mechitzasa. And therefore, the Shechita in the Azara with regard to Chulin is Trefa. Mind-boggling. So we now have three cases of Trefa. One of them is the simple case of Trefa that we always are familiar with. The animal's going to die, and therefore the Shechita cannot work on this animal. Now we have another case. The case of the Uber Shahotzias S.A. Vareha, or Echad Me'a Vareha. That's also called the Trefa, because that's also like the sudden, it doesn't have the mechitzas of Shechita. The Torah says that the limb that went outside of the mother's body is outside the mechitza of Shechita. And now we're saying that the Azara, as far as Chulin is concerned, is outside the mechitza of Shechita. And therefore it's Trefa. So Torah says in the parasha of Trefa that there's one kind of Trefa which you're allowed to have Hanoah from, and that's when the animal was taken into a mechitza, right? But here in the case, outside the mechitza, I'm sorry, but here in the case of Chulin, then instead of taking it outside the mechitza, you took it inside a mechitza. Again, that inside the mechitza is also considered trefa, but it's not the same trefa as the classic trefa. So the classic trefa is like kelev tashlichun. You're allowed to have hanoah from it. Then the Torah says also, but when you extend trefa to a case where you brought the animal inside a mechitza, which is outside of the mechitza of shechita, there it's asur bana. And therefore, the Chachamim need a special drasha that although classic trefa is mutar banah, but what about chulin shenishkatu bazara? How do we know that chulin shenishkatu bazara, the meat, is asur banah? And the answer is, you cannot derive it from the fact that the Torah was matar anah and trefa, because maybe that heter could apply even to this category of trefa, of chulin shenishkatu bazara, that's also chutz l'mechitzasa, it's also like a sadeh. And therefore the Torah went out of its way to tell you that the heter anah and trefa is limited to this case of trefa, and it doesn't apply to the other case of trefa, which is chulin shenishkatu bazara. And now I have to add one more point. Rabbi Avo says that whenever the Torah prohibits something by achila, then we assume that it's asur bana. We cannot apply that to the case of chulin shenishkatu bazara, because nowhere does the Torah say lo socha lo sochlu with regard to chulin shenishkatu bazara. On the contrary, the Torah says ki yirchak mipcha. We only derive from that that it's only because of Rechuk Makom that you're allowed to shecht it and eat it. But the Torah never actually formulates explicitly a prohibition enjoining us from eating Chulin Shenishkatu Bazara. And since it doesn't appear in the Torah, we don't apply and activate the principle of Rabbi Avo that whenever the Torah says Lo Sochal, it includes also Anah. So therefore we don't know that there's an Iser Hanah in Chulin Shenishkatu Bazara, even according to Rabbi Avo, because we cannot start with Achila. It doesn't say Achila. The Torah never mentions and formulates the word Achila with regard to Chulin Shenishkatu Bazara. And therefore we need the Pasuk also as a miut to establish that there's an Iser Hanah in Chulin Shenishkatu Bazara. So let's just summarize Rabbi Meir Shita according to Rabbi Avo. Number one, how do we know that whenever the Torah prohibits you in Achila and includes Hanah? The answer is Nevela. Because since in Nevela, the Torah went out of its way to be Matar Hanah, whether it's this Hanah, that Hanah, any kind of Hanah, give it to him, sell it to him, it's all okay. Implying that elsewhere where the Torah says you're not allowed to eat it, it's us or even by Hanah. Why then, according to Rabbi Meir, did the Torah have to go out of its way to add the word Oso in the Parsha of Trefa? So if you're asking me why the Torah had to say Lakelev Tashlichun, I can give you an answer to that. Because since the Torah says Basar Basoda Trefalo Tochelu, I would have automatically included an Iser, I know you're not allowed to give it to your dog. So the Torah had to be marked to your dog. But if that be the case, the Torah could have just suffice to say Lakelev Tashlichun. Why did the Torah have to add the word also? And the answer is the Torah wants to establish an Isra Hana in Chulin Shanish Ketubah Azara. Why do I need to establish an Isra Hana when in general every Isra Achila includes Hana? The answer is because when do we apply the principle of Rabbi Avo that every Isra Achila includes Hana? That's when the Torah formulated it in Achila terms, Lo Sochlu, etc. But here in the case of Chulin Shanish Ketubah Azara, the Torah never said Lo Sochlu, and therefore I have no right to apply Rabbi Avo's principle. I need a new source to derive the Isra Hana in Chulin Shanish Ketubah Azara, and that source is going to be the extra word Oso. And now we're about to ask, what does Rabbi Yehuda do with the word also? Yeah.
Just like you said that a chulin shenish ketuv ba'azora is treifal because of a chitza, do we also say that kodshim shenish ketuv chutz me'azora should also be treifal because it's also outside of a chitza? Do we say that?
If I'm not mistaken, I have to prepare this a little bit better. There's a separate parasha with regard to kodshim that was shechted outside the Azara. And it's also midin hegdish. Now, you can ask, can we add another Yisur of treifa? I don't know. You know, for that you have to know more about Ein Yisur, Chalal Yisur, and all that. What?
Is there a Mishnah in Truma about that?
Yeah, and it might be also b'toras treifa, it says?
I don't think it's treifa.
Right.
The question is, why not? You know, if you're applying this principle, it should be.
Right. Okay, that's a question for Kodshim. Yeah. That's a question for Kodshim. If you insist, I'll research this further. I don't mind researching it, but I don't know. You know, you have to know a little bit more about Kodshim. Kodshim needs a heter shchita, and that heter shchita is only in the Azara. Now, would you add an Issa Trefa? I don't know. I suspect that the answer to your question lies in one of two ways. Either, since the shchita here is not matir, then bevela becomes nevela. And I don't know if I gain anything by adding an Issa Trefa, or alternatively, there's a separate law in the Torah based on Kodshim in the case of Chule, of Kodshim Shenishkatu Chutz Lazar. And that's the Torah's Kodshim. Does he have it here? Let me just quickly see. Oh, maybe he has something here. He says the following. Now, Im yotza basar chutz l'mechitzaso, dahainu basar kodshim chutz l'azara, nesar. V'im keno yamakom lomar, shaposik bala hatir hana. Okay, this is already... Okay, this is really complicated. This is, if you want a mar mokum for this, it is, Tosus Rabbeinu Peretz in Mesechta Chulin Daf Samaches Omid Al. No, I'm sorry, Samaches Omid Beis. But anyway, it seems that that premise that you suggested is accepted by Tosus Rabbeinu Peretz, that Enochinami Kodshim that was shechted outside the Azara also comes under the Isur of Chutz
Mechitzaso. That is treif.
Yeah, now I don't know the exact implications here, because L'chor, if there's no Het Teshchit anyway, it's Nevela. Okay, Rav Chaim has a lot of Torah on the relationship between Nevela and Treif. So Rabosai, where are we up to? So we'll know for tomorrow. Sunday. We're up to the word Ve'idach. Okay, can everybody just make a note of it? It's line 4, and it's the word Ve'idach. And basically what the Gemara is going to try to answer here, now that we understand the word Oso, according to Rabbi Meir, what are we going to do with the word Oso for Rabbi Yehuda? Because since Rabbi Yehuda rejects Rabbi Meir, and he says that Oso is coming to prohibit all Isurim Shabbat Torah, so then what about the case of Chulin Shenish Ketubah Azara? So in other words, the word also is the source for Rabbi Avo's principle that in other Isurim, when the Torah prohibits achil, it includes hana as well. So therefore, by definition, I would derive the conclusion that chul and shenishkutu ba'azor, so far as it's an isur achilu, would include hana as well. And therefore, I don't need the word also to exclude chul and shenishkutu ba'azor from hana. It's also hana by virtue of the general principle of Rabbi Avo. Okay, well, we'll have to flesh out the details b'li neder on Yom Rishon. Okay, then, so I'll take this opportunity to wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos. Okay, then.